Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, episode 4065. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit, a podcast about wisdom versus regret. You're listening to Midnight Pilot, a 2015 EP entitled Let Go. This is the title track. The lyric also serves as the title for today's show. Life takes us further than we think.
Best in the world, and back then it was easy. Life takes us further.
Love isn't easy, that's what they sing, but you know, no love is way harder. Time, it's a straight line with no exit at the end. Well, actually, there is an end to time. It's called death. I ought to know how to let go. It ain't easy. Life takes us further than we think. Hey, I'm glad that you clicked play. I still remember every moment we spent together, these guys sing. Okay, well, I don't remember every moment we spent together, but I remember an awful lot of moments, and there are times in your life, and I'm at that time in my life, where that's good enough. It's just good enough. Midnight Pilot, by the way, these boys are, well, they're now out of Nashville. I don't know where they originally came from. I haven't done that much research, but I stumbled across them a year and a half ago. Really good stuff. That EP, by the way, you can buy it at iTunes for $4.95. It's like six tunes on it. It's all good stuff. Life takes us further than we think when you're talking about friendship. That's the subject. Well, it's kind of the subject of today's show, close friendships, the kind of friendships that help you walk through the storms of life, the kind of friendships that you can celebrate the sunshine days with. It can be a person. It can be a dog. It can be a pet. In my case, it's a pair of white West Highland Terriers, Westies. But in particular, it's one of them. It's a brother and sister. But the brother, his name is Rocky. And we often call him Huey. Like baby Huey. He just kind of ambles around. He always has. Some have even called him Eeyore. Now, first, let me tell you why this is important for me. And it just might make it more important to you. For starters, when we think about love and marriage, friendship, well, that's often missing, sadly. And it can make those relationships, it can make marriages falter because couples, they're not friends. Now, some couples, I think, they start out as friends first. But I know other couples, and you probably do too, they either had to learn to become friends after first becoming husband and wife and lovers, and some, sadly, they never did. They have never developed friendship, the friendship that they need to really grow close. And I've talked about love and marriage before, and that's really not what today's show is about. But these friendships, this whole friendship notion, companionship. Secondly, I know what it is to have a friend with whom you can share anything. You know, somebody who believes in you so strongly that nothing weakens their confidence in you. Somebody who shares your values and they have this unwavering steadfastness. Special. Thirdly, a close friend is sometimes not a person at all. It's a pet. In my case, I'm a dog guy. And for me, it particularly is a dog. And in this case, it is a dog named Rocky. It is a sweet, kindly dispositioned, and friendly dog who knows only unconditional love and fondness and who has always acquiesced to the aggressiveness of his sister, Rosie. Rocky, if he were a person, Rocky is that good old boy, gonna go along to get along, not gonna rattle anybody's, you know, tree, just compliant. Now, this isn't the stuff of social sharing, and by that I don't mean that we don't share these things socially, but I mean this friendship has got nothing to do with Facebook likes or friendships. It really doesn't even have anything to do with texting a funny GIF. And I love those modern technologies. I love all these modern connector tools, but they don't make for close friendships. In fact, I could argue that they are counter to them. I could argue that there are people who have a lot of friendships today, but none that go much deeper than Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or, you know, pick your tool. I'm not against these tools, by the way. I think close friends can, well, I think the connections can be driven even deeper with these tools because we're able to stay in touch with people that we do have a meaningful relationship with. I mean, my lens, we can connect and we can stay connected and have a lot more touch points in our relationship than we ever could before. And that's awesome. I think it's terrific. But I would hope that you're not using social media as a substitute for meaningful friendship. And I fear that that's what is happening in too many cases. Now, Rocky, being a dog, he doesn't have a smartphone. But if he did have a smartphone and he knew how to work a smartphone, I'm rather certain that he would be very reserved in using it. And I can easily conclude that based on his behavior. He much prefers closeness. Because Rocky is he's a proximity friend. That means he loves being near me, near Rhonda. Hey, I'm moving in a few weeks. You think you could help me? You ever said that to a friend? You ever had a friend say that to you? Yeah, we probably all have. And those are good friends to have. You know, good friends that you can ask, you can impose such a thing on. But that's not what I'm talking about either. I'm talking more about a guy who knows that you're moving and when, and they show up to help because all along they've been telling you, I'm going to be there. And you never did ask. You never did even have to ask. And it wouldn't cross their mind to not help. And if the shoe were on the other foot, you'd be there for them in exactly the same way. You know, a friend calls you in the night with a problem. You're 8 hours away by car. And you pack a quick bag, and within 10 minutes of the phone call, you're off. You're down the road. You're headed his way. You're going to drive all night. Not because you told him you would, but because there's nothing he could do to stop you. He ambles into the yellow studio, this furry pet of mine named Rocky, because he knows that's where I'm at. And in the last year or so, his hearing and his eyesight, they have faltered. He can still find you. In fact, as I'm recording, he has plopped down. He is no further than 3 feet from me to my left. And he can fall asleep in no time. In fact, he's asleep right now. Over to my right, by the way, is Rosie. She's on the opposite side of my chair. Yeah, she too is asleep. And a very random belly rub is more reward than Rocky ever expects. Well, okay, maybe he expects more. He expects to be fed, and he expects a daily treat at breakfast and at bedtime. And he loves the occasional walk. I mean, he is so undemanding. It's ridiculous. The best kind of friend, right? Well, a week ago, I noticed a weirdness on a front tooth. You know, and these are furry idiots. You know, so it's not like I'm checking his teeth like a horse or anything commonly. But this tooth, it just looks odd as I glance at him, and closer examination shows there's a bulge that has enveloped a few teeth. And I wonder, an infection? I don't know. And a trip to the vet revealed what we feared. Cancer. More likely than not. Rocky and Rosie are 15 years old, and so in dog years, they've lived a while. John Hiatt and the Goners from a 2003 record entitled Beneath This Gruff Exterior. The track is My Dog and Me. Are you a dog person? You don't have to be. Probably helps. Probably help you relate to today's show. I know many people are. A friend over in Stockholm, John Biscal, he runs Moondog. Moondog Marketing, Moondog. He's got a podcast about marketing, and he's got hounds. He's got big basset hounds, and hence the Moondog. You know, he's got the doghouse studio, as he calls it. Mine's yellow because of the walls. His is doghouse because the hounds are always near him when he's recording his podcast. My hounds are, well, they're not hounds, they're terriers, but and here they are. I'm recording a show. They're even included in today's show, and they're completely out of it. I mean, they're both knocked out right now. It would cost over $1,500 to find out for sure Rocky's malady. But again, you know, he's 15 years old. He's got cataracts. His hearing is growing increasingly difficult. And really, except for this new issue, this cancer in his mouth, he's strong. He's healthy. He's alert. I mean, he comes from good stock. A quality breeder of Westies in the Houston area, actually in the Woodlands, which is a northern suburb of Houston, had a long bloodline of quality Westie dogs. You know, not one of those breed them for money kind of breeders, but a breeder who breeds these dogs because they love them. I've lost close friends, including my closest lifelong friend, Stanley. I've lost pets, too, dogs. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Nothing gained, nothing lost. It's a high-value proposition. Life takes us further than we think. Now, right now, Rocky's quality of life is still very good. The vet said he may do well for a good long while, or he may decline sooner than later. No real way to know unless she were to do some extensive biopsies and so forth. The day we got the news, Rhonda and I both agreed we're not going to delay the inevitable end once we see him begin to decline. I don't know what that'll look like. You know, maybe it'll be a week of no appetite and just laying around much more so than normal. And maybe that's all it will take. I mean, this is not our first loss of a friend, rodeo. Because part of wisdom is making the right decision in real time and avoiding regret. And boy, I can tell you, I have clung on too long in the past and I have regretted it. Pets, places, people, not necessarily in that order, but they matter. They help define the quality of our lives. Not money, not things, not stuff, not prestige. Leaning toward wisdom is about growth. It's about greater awareness, deeper insight, sober reflection. It's about connecting the dots on what matter the most. It's about being better, all of us being better. I watch Rocky try to gain his bearings. I know that his sight is severely impaired and his hearing pretty equal. He sits in the backyard the other day and he's looking around, and I know it's hard. I know that he's likely only seeing shadows and big movements these days. The days of spotting squirrels in the backyard and chasing those are behind him now. And he was never very quick or as energetic as Rosie. And like me and Rhonda, Rocky and Rosie, they're growing older. In dog years, they're way ahead of us. I mean, what are they, 105 in dog years? We're over half their age, but we're still all getting old, all of us together. Life has indeed taken us further than we thought. But sometimes it works in reverse. A few weeks ago, there was a tornado that hit the little town of Van, Texas. Van is east of Dallas, over toward Tyler, you know, as you head toward Louisiana. And this whole part of the state has been hit hard with thunderstorms and rain. In fact, just last night, they informed us that we have already reached about 22 inches of rain for the year, which is more than all the rain we got all last year in 2014. And we've had a number of tornadoes and strong winds. Hey, listen, it goes with the turf. It's part of living in this part of the country. And those of us that have grown up here and we live here, this is, we're used to it. It's what happens in the spring. Well, a storm hit the little town of Van, Texas, actually a tornado hit, killing the owner of what's believed to be an 8-year-old Great Pyrenees dog. I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and you can read the story for yourself and even see a photograph of said dog. LeaningTowardWisdom.com. Just plug in the number 4065, and you'll see a picture of Rocky as well, and Rocky and Rosie, and a link to this this story, which is a touching story. Well, the dog was severely injured due to being thrown around. And it is surmised that this dog was hurt, but went looking for her owner, found her owner, and crawled under her owner's arms, completely unaware that her owner was dead. Her new adopted name, some rescue worker saw her and made up her mind upon seeing her, I'm going to take care of this dog. Renamed her Emma. Well, Emma was just seeking comfort, and Emma knew where to go. Emma knew to go to a comfortable, familiar friend, her owner, oblivious that her owner was dead. I spent months and months searching for these two furry idiots, by the way, these two furry friends of mine, Rocky and Rosie. Rhonda and I, we went to dog shows, and a year or so earlier, we had lost another pet, a Bichon, by the name of Barney. Yeah, his registered name was Bernard P5. We went to dog shows, and I had made up my mind, Westie, I wanted a Westie. We'd had a neighbor some years ago who had a Westie, and I just thought, these are really good-looking dogs, and I wanted to investigate them, so we went to dog shows, local dog shows. Well, these were reminiscent of a poor man's Best in Show. Do you remember that movie? It was a great movie. Well, that movie was released about the same time that Rocky and Rosie were born. And at a dog show, I ran into a local Westie. He showed Westies, but he was also very involved in the Westie rescue efforts around here in North Texas. Talking to him, and I mean, really hard to find. Really hard to find. And if you wanted to go with a quality breeder, and I've never been a proponent of puppy mills or buying dogs at pet stores or any of that. Well, he urged me to think about buying a pair. And I'm like, man, I hadn't even thought about buying two. You kidding me? Twice the trouble. And he's like, you'll appreciate it. Trust me. Trust me. If you buy a pair, you want to have a pair. They will play together. They'll occupy each other. Trust me. Well, we had never owned terriers before either, and he knew that, so maybe that was part of the reason for the advice. I don't know, but it turned out to be great advice. And he put me on to a breeder in South Texas in the Woodlands area, and it was two ladies, one of whom was a vet, and they had a great reputation. And there were a number of breeders who, you could tell at the shows, I mean, he didn't really treat their dogs all that well. And some of the breeders, he was like, okay, stay away from them, stay away from them. So I was really happy to have found this guy. And because he was so involved in the rescue efforts of these animals, he was really particular. And I wanted that. I love that. Well, we contact the breeder in Houston, and I mean, we went through a process that has to be as rigorous as child adoption. I had to include photos of our home, our yard, our personal information, how we lived our life, what our past pet ownership was like, what our schedules were like. I don't know. Maybe we gave them tax returns for all I know. I mean, it was pretty comprehensive. And after what seemed to be a long period of time, they gave us the opportunity to buy a brother and a sister. And they had some people that they were looking at, and we had kind of come at the tail end. This litter had been born some weeks before, and they were nearing the time where these people were willing to let them go. And we were at the tail end. And if memory serves, there were three or four of us that were kind of in contention. And I think we were the only ones that wanted two. We wanted a pair, which I thought would make it more difficult. Maybe that helped us. I don't know. But I remember we made the trip down to their place, to their house, and we walk in, and well, there was Rocky and Rosie and their siblings, and their grandparents were there. Not only were their parents there, but their grandparents were there too. And I remember us watching as one of the females just hopped up and got on the highest sofa cushion. And I remember asking them, and they're like, yeah, they do that. The girls like that. Well, we quickly discovered Rosie had the exact same behavior. It's just kind of funny to watch. So we visited and completed the transaction, and we loaded them into the crate, and we put them in the back of my, I'd had a brand new Acura Integra Type R. I loved that car. Guess what color that car was? Yeah, yellow. And we raced up the interstate back home to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Rocky and Rosie have been here ever since. And they've never been far from each other. I mean, right now, 6 feet separates them. That's as far away as they get from each other. And they've never been far from us. They're 3 feet away from me. The places only matter because of the friends. When my children were small, we took them to a place where Rhonda and I first dated. It was a little town in Oklahoma where there was an annual church meeting held every 4th of July. People from all over the country would converge on this small town every July 4th for this meeting. Well, we drove up to the meeting place, and it was a fall or a winter day. I don't remember. But obviously it was empty. I mean, it wasn't until July 4th, so this event wasn't happening. We were just taking them to show them this is where we met. This is where we began to date. And they were very unimpressed. Shoot, I was unimpressed, and I had known this place all my life. But I explained that, you know, it's not the place that's so special. I mean, the place is special, but the place is really only special because of the people who come to this place, the people who have come to this place in the past. That's what makes it special. And without the people, it's just an empty, quiet place. You think of all the scenic places where people travel, and maybe they're special, but they're made more special by the people who were with us there. And as pretty, as tranquil, or as majestic as a place might be, it's memorable because of friends or family. People make the difference. Okay, dogs too. There's a picture over at the show notes, again, leaningtowardwisdom.com, episode 4065. There's a photograph of just a quaint little house. I mean, this is a little house that it certainly costs less than a moderately priced luxury car. You couldn't buy a house this inexpensively where I live. And it's got special memories for me, not because it was my house, but I have known houses like this before, some who belonged to great-grandparents. Some who belong to friends, some who belong to family of friends. And this house isn't special because it's got marble floors or granite countertops, because it didn't have any of that. But it's special because of people. And some of these little quaint houses, they're special because of people and, well, and sometimes animals, pets, who once occupied the spaces. That picture over in the show notes, if you go over there and look, that picture of a small frame house is in Mississippi. And it was the home of an old preacher friend named Linwood, who passed away some years ago. Linwood would perch there in that photograph. You can look on the front porch, and there's this green porch furniture. And he would sit there, and he would look down the lane out of picture. But there's a link that you can go to, and you can see a picture of the lane that he would look down. Well, it's just a dirt driveway, but it's tree-lined. It's really pretty. Now, if you look closely at that photograph on the sidewalk there, there's this black and white cat. Now, I don't know anything about this cat, and I'd known Linwood all my life, but I suspect that he would feed that cat because that cat was hanging around. And you and I both know, yeah, cats will hang around if you feed them or if they got something to eat. So I suspect, I don't know for sure, but I suspect he may have slipped some food to this cat. This picture was taken following the funeral. We had just buried him. And my son had never seen where he lived, and my son was with me on this trip. Linwood never lived anywhere else. That house that you see right there is where he lived his entire life. And he was an old man when he died. One home, simple, plain, no frills. I don't know. Maybe it was the nature of his work, simple and plain and all that, preaching. Not the most lucrative thing in the world. He didn't do it for that reason, by the way. Good thing. Didn't work out. Now, it was more than that. He had friends all over the country. And meanwhile, back home, he had this porch. He had this front porch, and he had this lane. Now, maybe he had this cat. And when I took my son to see his house after the funeral, it brought back a lot of memories of him. But he was gone. It wasn't the same. And we had just sat through a touching memorial service, and we just said our goodbyes.
Tell me that you love me one more time. Then I'll kiss you on the head and say goodbye. From the Colorado mountains to the clear blue Texas sky, say I love you one more time, I'll say goodbye. Tell me one more time before I go. Well, I'll tell you that I love you, you say I know. Well, I may be moving south, but this whole damn trip is cold. Tell me one more time before I go. When I'm 100 miles deep, through the turbines and the planes and the memories I'll keep, tell me that you feel me when you sleep. From the Colorado mountains to the clear blue Texas sky, say I love you one more time, I'll say goodbye. Say I love you one more time, I'll say goodbye.
He is Bo DePena, DePena. Bo is his first name. A 2014 record called There's No Way Out of Here. And the song is entitled I'll Say Goodbye. A few years ago, Rhonda had a breast cancer scare. Made more serious because she lost her mother to it not long after we were married. If memory serves, her mom was only 43 when she passed. I remember when Rhonda reached an age her mother did. Weird, right? I mean, weird moments in life. But as we prepared for Rhonda to have this biopsy, I remember fear unlike any other fear. And it wasn't a panic. I mean, it was more like this large, looming, unavoidable destruction. just a hopelessness. I've gone on record, and I've told her many times, I've gone on record that one of my biggest fears in life is losing her, forced to go it alone.
I love you so much, it hurts me. Darling, that's why I'm so blue. I'm so afraid to go to bed at night, afraid of losing you. I love you so much, it hurts me, and there's nothing I can do. I wanna hold you, my dear, forever and ever. I love you so much, it hurts me so.
He's John Prine, of course, a 1995 record called Lost Dogs and Mixed Blessings. And the song is entitled I Love You So Much, It Hurts. Gotta love John Prine. Well, goodbyes are hard when the value is high. I mean, like John is singing. You can love somebody so much it hurts. And those of us that have had that kind of love, we understand that. And if you haven't, I feel badly. I do. I feel badly for you. Because goodbyes are hard when the value is high. Now, when the value is low, okay, you know, we just wave and we're gone. No big deal. Out of sight, out of mind. Rocky's been part of our lives for over 15 years and counting. Linwood, he was part of my life since birth. I was 50 years old when Linwood died. Stanley, a lifelong friend, he was part of my life since birth. I was almost 56 when he passed. Loss stings more because of the gain. Life takes us further than we think. When relationships begin, whether with dogs or with people, we don't know what the future is going to look like. We take a chance. I'm told it's easier for some to take a chance than for others. You know, commitment issues and all that. I've never suffered that problem. My problem is just the opposite. When I decide to go in, I go all in. Without much reservation. Now, it doesn't mean that I just jump in, but it does mean that when I do decide to jump in, I don't hesitate. My hesitation is all pre-jump hesitation. And loyalty, well, yeah, I'm loyal to a fault. Here we are in America celebrating Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend in America. Monday's a holiday. It's a time when people place fresh flowers on graves of loved ones. It's primarily a time when our nation recognizes the price paid by the military veterans who gave their lives in service to our country. But people choose this weekend to kind of remember those who have passed on during a weekend like this. Well, or if the weather permits, they go to the lake, drink a lot of alcohol, and behave like fools. Well, some do. I don't go to the lake and I don't drink. Now, I don't need to go to the lake and I don't need to drink in order to act foolishly, but thankfully most of my foolishness doesn't involve in putting myself or others in harm's way. But I do remember Memorial Day. It's not really necessary for me to remember. You know, I don't need a Hallmark moment. I don't need to be told by some greeting card company or some national holiday that, okay, here's the designated day. On today, think about this and forget it every other day. But this really isn't about, it's not about the limitations of life, including memory. And it's not about the sadness. It's not about the sadness of endings. And you may think that that's been the point up to this point, but you know me, I bury the lead. We're on this trip together. It's about the memory of the thrills, the sorrows, the joys that we have all been able to experience. This past week, David Letterman, he inserted some lingo through the years into my vocabulary. And among them was that famous sign-off, good night, everybody. Well, Dave said good night to everybody on Wednesday this past week. 33 years, that was seemed enough. And he felt like it was time to put it to an end. But like millions of others, I was there at the beginning, laughing at his antics. I had grown up watching the Johnny Carson show and admiring Dave when he came on to Johnny's show or when he filled in. Carson was mostly the guy that our parents watched, but this is the days where there was one TV in the house, as opposed to a TV being in every room in the house like now. And if the parents had it on, then guess what? Guess what we watched? Yeah, we watched what our parents watched. And I love Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson, I mean, I love seeing Jonathan Winters on. I love seeing Don Rickles. Lots of people. But Dave was our guy. You know, Dave wasn't our parents' guy. He was our guy. Snarky, unassuming, entertainingly indifferent. And now it's over. But I'm good. I'm good with it. And I think I'm good with it mostly because I'm thankful that when I was in my mid-20s, a guy like Dave came onto the scene and gave me countless hours of laughter plus a whole lot of smiles. There's another thing in my speech that I got from Dave from hearing him say it so many times, and that's, hey, kids. I have said, hey, kids, as long as I can remember. I will attribute that to Dave Letterman. Now, today, it's probably a little more fitting. I'm an older guy, and so I can enter most any room and say, hey, kids, and, well, it's fitting. Probably a little more fitting than when I was in my 20s or 30s. Is it sad to see things end? Is it sad to know that Rocky's time with us is limited? Life takes us further than we first thought.
Oh,
They are Ivan and Alyosha, A-L-Y-O-S-H-A. I am sure I'm butchering that name. Ivan and Alyosha, from a 2013 record, All the Times We Had. And that's the title track, All the Times We Had. $9.99 at iTunes, and the record is, what's the word I would use to describe this? It's alluring. Is that a good word? I don't know if it is or not, but it's one that pops into my mind. It's that kind of stuff, and I'm rather fond of them. 15 years ago, I didn't see this time coming. I had no idea what was coming. Rocky and Rosie, they were our first terriers. They were our first pair of dogs. They were our first brother and sister dogs. We've been the only parents they've known. Our house, the only home they've known. They know every inch of our house. They know every inch of our yard. They have barked at and chased at countless squirrels whose lifespans were much shorter than their own. They've seen all four grandkids. Time will tell if they'll see our fifth, expected in early August. I hope they do. They learned to swim to safety in our pool. We taught them how to swim to the steps so that they could get out. It was one of the concerns I remember that the breeder had, and we assured them that the dogs would be kept safe. It's funny, they would get out of the pool and they would instantly rub themselves in the grass and then up against the bricks of the house. And the minute Rocky would jump out, you know, Rosie would pounce on him. Hundreds of thousands of trips in and out the dog doors from their area, their crate area where they sleep at night, to the backyard. I mean, they've been part of our home since we rescued them from that Houston humidity. We're all they know. And it makes me smile knowing that. I'm happy to have had our time together. And of all the dogs, and the many breeds of dogs, and the many sources for these breeds of dogs, we found this brother and sister, these two dogs. How many other relationships in life are just like that? A lot, I suspect. I mean, my lifelong friendship with Stanley, it happened through no effort on our part. Well, that's probably a bad way to phrase it, but we didn't plan it. We didn't architect it. It just seemed destined to happen. I'm not saying that it was, but it seems that way. Linwood entered my life in much the same way. It was what it was. And yes, like any relationship, we have to foster these things. We have to work at these things. But the opportunities for these friendships and these connections, they present themselves. And we see them for the value that they provide, or we don't. And today, I'm grateful for the ones that I took advantage of. I would tell you that I'm not sad at the loss. I am sad at the loss, but today, I'm mostly thankful for the value, and it's because of the value that the loss is so great, or the prospect of the loss. But I'm sad for the opportunities that I may have missed. What people have I overlooked? What friendships have I missed? What relationships have I lost out on? I didn't miss the opportunity with Rocky and Rosie. I went looking for it. I found it. And we connected, and we've been together ever since. I didn't miss out on Stan. I didn't miss out on Linwood. I didn't miss out on David Letterman. My life is filled with relationships that I did not miss. Some have lasted a few years. Others have lasted for decades. Dave told the New York Times that he sensed he was in a more relaxed place since he decided to step away from his show. He says, quote, "Because I think there's a difference between regular season hockey and playoff hockey, and I'm not in the playoffs." I'm happy. Listen, I'm happy for Dave. I'm happy that Stan and Linwood are no longer enduring any ill health and suffering. I'm happy for Rocky. I'm happy that I'm happy that he got into our homes and into our heart. I'm happy that he's had a good life. I'm happy that he's still enjoying life, albeit with less vision and hearing than before. And mostly today, I'm selfish. Because mostly today, I'm happy for myself. Because my life has experienced higher value because of these relationships. I'm a better person. I'm a better man because of Rocky and Rosie and all the other animal and human relationships. Yes, all the places that are dear to me, guess what they are? Well, they're tethered to relationships. Sitting in quiet places with a pet dog who would listen to my every problem and spend whatever time I required. I had a dog when I was a kid, a Cocker Spaniel, who would chase balls, but otherwise was probably dumb as a sack of rocks, named Buttons. And I was just a little kid, but I can't tell you how many hours I spent with my arm around his front shoulder. Lots. Yards and rooms with friends or family where celebrations were held. Floors and rugs and pieces of furniture where knees were bent, praying with people or for people who mattered. I know laughter, I know sorrow. But mostly today, I know that without the value of these relationships, then the loss wouldn't even be felt. Because had I not loved Stanley so much, then what value would our friendship have provided? Where there's great value, there's great loss, or there's great anticipation of loss. Does everything happen for a reason? Or do you think there's a reason, there's just a reason why everything happens? Two completely different questions and viewpoints. Does everything happen for a reason, or is there just a reason why everything happens? I think there are reasons why things, good or bad, happen. I'm not so certain that everything happens for a reason. Whether we see it or not, I don't profess to know. And I think it applies also to blessings. It doesn't matter if you see it or not, you're blessed. Our lives are mostly comprised of the choices we make, the opportunities that we can spot, the moments. Life's about the moments. It's about, well, for me, it's about this moment right now.
You bring the crowd down to one. I dream of you in the morning until the day is done, and then again.
He is Tyrone Wells from a 2012 record called Beautiful World. It's an EP. You can get it for $4.99 at iTunes. This song is called This Moment Now. These days, I realize that my life has brought me to this moment, a moment where Rocky is still feeling fine, where I can give him belly rubs, and where I can peer to my left as I am now, and there he is, sleeping soundly on the floor, snoring slightly, and some days not so slightly. My life has brought me to this moment. A moment where I'm now 2 years older. Than Stan ever reached.
In your eyes, finally I know I am
fine. A moment where
so good to feel this way, can't find the words to say, but I'll show you.
Yeah, can't find the words. A moment where I can impact my two grown kids. Four grandkids, soon to be five.
Be here now with you.
A moment where my business and my leadership experience, I can benefit the clients that I serve, many of whom are 15 years younger than me or more. A moment where I can see how blessed I am to have known, to have influenced, to have been influenced, and to have loved the people, the places, pets. Life has taken us further than we thought. And aren't we glad?
I am found. So good to feel this way. Can't find the words to say, but I'll show you. I'll show you.
Well, I would apologize, but you know me better than that. It's not that I can't apologize, but I'm not going to apologize for that. I recorded this twice, by the way. This was the second time. I didn't record it. I didn't re-record it because I lost it like I did just now. In fact, I didn't lose it at all in the first recording. I don't know. I had some songs that I didn't much care for. Well, I liked the songs, but I thought, yeah, I can do a better job than that. So I kind of went back and reworked some things and rewrote some things and planned things out differently. And, you know, I mean, I got right to the end and I thought, shoot fire, I'm going to lose it. Thanks for listening. I'm not sure why you do, but I'm glad that you do. It's not like there's tons of you out there, but, you know, a few hundred people. And if you put a gun to my head and said, okay, can you put a few hundred people together in a room? I'd say, you kidding me? I might could get six. So I'm grateful and appreciative. Okay, let's get our composure back. By the way, this was episode, I didn't even do a sign off. This is episode 4065. So if you want to see links, there is, I would tell you, there's a link to some post where I talk about Stanley. Those of you that have been listening, you know. So I hate to keep redoing it, but I've not made any secret of it. April, which was a month of his birth, May, which was the month of my birth, and also the month of his death. April and May, since a couple of years ago when he passed on May the 12th, have just, I don't know. I listen, I'm a guy who, are you given to preoccupation? Because boy, I am. And April and May, I just get, since he passed, I just horrifically, I mean horrifically, preoccupied in April and May. And you know, it's, and listen, this is what happens. This is the high value proposition of these relationships, and I hope that's what you got from it today. I'm not trying to be depressing or melancholy, although I know it is, but in spite of the loss, man, the only thing I would do different is spend more time. Right? I mean, it's, that's just how it goes. You know, the only regret is the regret that there weren't you know, that distance separates you, that there's, you know, that there's just life happens and there's just not the opportunities to spend as much time in these relationships. But if there's a lesson for me and a lesson for you, the lesson is, okay, well, you've got today, you've got this moment, which is why I lost it. You've got this moment, so seize the moment. If you think that Rhonda and I have not behaved slightly different toward Rocky since this diagnosis, you're out of your mind. Walks are common. Belly rubs a lot more frequent. And that's how it should be. I'm not beating myself up about the past, but okay, now that we know, and we knew life was finite. I mean, come on, we know that we're not going to live forever, not here. And dogs, you know, dogs don't have souls. So yes, I believe this is it for Rocky. So we want to make it the best that we can make it. So, okay, let's find a tune to take us out, shall we? Be done with this. By the way, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you subscribing if you do. And I appreciate you telling other people about the podcast. You do know that this started as a project to just pass on wisdom to my kids, don't you? So welcome. Welcome along for the ride. Hey, if I'm willing to tell my kids, then you know I care about you, right? Because it's the same message. Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. I like these guys. I like these guys a lot, and I listen to a lot of their stuff. Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, this is a 2014 record. The name of the record was Good Light. Okay, it's a fitting song, I admit. What would I do without you? Well, what would I do without you? Well, I'd be sitting here talking to myself. That's what I'd be doing. Would I still do it? Probably. But boy, it makes it so much more nice, so much more enjoyable knowing that I'm doing it with you. And that's a pretty cool thing. And it just speaks to the value of relations. So Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, the song is What Would I Do Without You? Enjoy.
Sometimes I wake up with the sadness, other days it feels like madness. So what would I do without you? When colors turn to shades of gray with the weight of the world at the end of the day, what would I do without you? A decade goes by without a warning, and there's still a kindness in your eyes. Amidst the questions and the worry, a peace of mind always takes me by surprise. I feel like I'm walking with eyes as blind as a man without a lantern in a coal mine. What would I do without you? My imagination gets the best of me, and I'm trying to hide lost at sea. What would I do without you? The difference between what I've said and done, you're still standing by my side. A guilty soul and a worried mind, I will never make it if I'm on my own. I got the morning, I got midnight. You are patient, I'm always on time. Oh, what would I do without you? You got your sunshine, I got rain clouds. You got hope, I got my doubts. Oh, what would I do without you? Oh, what would I do without you? Oh, what would I do without you?